I am glad to be here today, filling in for Aaron. Glad that he's getting a little bit of a break this weekend, and hopefully that time is refreshing to him. So, what are you waiting for? Come on, just do it. I heard those words many times as a kid. Growing up with a couple brothers, we went on very many adventures. We did a lot of adventures, and I was the youngest, so guess who got to do those things first? A couple of those things that that we did, well, they all ended up being a dare, a challenge, but a couple of those things that we did was we would put cinder blocks. We would stack up cinder blocks and then put a piece of a block of wood up there. That was our bike ramp. So we kind of brought out our inner Evel Knievel in that. Didn't always go well, but another thing was we would dare each other to lick a 9-volt battery. I would not advise that. Kids, don't try this at home. But by far, one of my favorite things that we did, we would climb down or rappel down our laundry chute. So I grew up in we had a split level house, and the bathroom was upstairs. And so for you youngsters out there, a laundry chute is usually in a cabinet in the bathroom. You open it up, you throw your clothes in, and they drop all the way down to the basement where the washer and dryer is at. I don't know how many times we climbed up and down inside that and rappelled down it. We would tie laundry together and rappel down that. So super fun. My mom wasn't always on board with that, but we had a good time. Andy, where's your brother at? Oh, he's stuck in the laundry chute. So that is... We made it. We survived. We did only have one ER visit, though. It was for a broken arm. Wasn't mine, though. As I said, fun times, but sometimes painful. But I wouldn't trade that family time for anything. Those adventures were well worth it. If you have your Bibles, please turn to Matthew 14. We're going to take a look at... the story of Jesus walking on the water. So Matthew 14, verses 22 through 33. Immediately, Jesus made the disciples get into the boat and go on ahead of him and to the other side, while he dismissed the crowd. After he had dismissed them, he went up on a mountainside by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat was already a considerable distance from the shore, from land, excuse me, buffeted by the waves because the wind was against it. During the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went out to them, walking on the lake. When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. "It's a ghost," they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, "Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid." "Lord, if it's you," Peter replied, "tell me to come to you on the water." "Come," he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came towards Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, "Lord, save me." Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. "You have little faith," he said. Why did you doubt?" And when they climbed into the boat, the wind died down. Then those who were in the boat worshiped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." So this story of Jesus walking on the water, it's actually found in three of the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and John. And every single gospel account of this story mentions their fear, but only one, the Gospel of Matthew, recounts the single evidence of faith in the situation. I think it's easy to focus on Peter in this story. His courage and willingness to literally step out in faith is pretty remarkable. It's inspiring, but what about the 11 that chose to stay in the boat? I think I think we can easily relate to those guys also. If we go back prior to this story in verse 13 through 21, we see that the 12 disciples just finished watching Jesus perform a miracle with the 5 loaves and 2 fish. Then it says, he immediately sent them on across the lake in the boat without him. So there was 12 guys on the boat that walked closely with Jesus for a while and had just witnessed him perform a miracle. Yet all of them were afraid when they saw Jesus walking on the water towards them. But only one disciple had enough courage to step out of the boat. Peter got out of the boat and the others stayed on. I think it's interesting that Matthew, the guy writing this account, was one of them that stayed on. John, the disciple who didn't mention the incident at all in his gospel, also stayed in the boat. And the Gospel of Luke doesn't mention the story at all. Were they embarrassed by their lack of faith? Maybe. Did they have regrets? Probably. I don't know about anybody else, but I think I can relate to those regrets. Sometimes it's easy to focus on our limitations. We get scared. We think, what if I fail? I think sometimes we do miss the boat by not getting out of it. We see the waves around us and become glued to our seat. We think, what if I look foolish, or what if I seem crazy? What if we miss out by not getting out? Maybe Matthew did. Maybe that's why he felt compelled to write it in his gospel years later. One of my favorite authors, or an author that I love to follow, his name's Lee Strobel. He's also a teaching pastor, but he wrote the book, The Case for Christ. Quick backstory, Lee spent most of all of his life being an atheist, and his wife was a believer, and so he just couldn't understand why his wife was a believer and why she believed that nonsense. And so he set out on a one-year journey to investigate and to research, trying to prove that Jesus was not who he says he was. And a year later, he couldn't do it. And he became a believer. There was not any evidence saying that Jesus was not who he says he was. Anyways, I heard a story. I was listening to a podcast of his not too long ago, and he talked about a story where he was at the newspaper, the Chicago Tribune, where he worked. He felt he was getting ready to leave, and he felt the Holy Spirit prompting him to go talk to one of his atheist friends that he worked with, and he wanted to invite him to Easter. So his heart was racing, probably about like mine right now. And he went into the business office where his friend worked, and he said, my wife and I'd like to invite you to Easter. And his friend said, I'm not interested. And he said, do you have any questions about God or Jesus? And he said, nope. He said, well, could I explain the resurrection or you know, try to make sense of anything? And he said, hard, nope, not interested. So Lee walked out and he left, and he told his friend, he said, hey, you know where my desk is at if you ever, you know, want to talk about it. And he left, and he was pretty bummed because he said, I know, I feel like God was telling me to go speak to him. And he said, well, you know, maybe God's going to use this experience somehow, some way. So fast forward a couple years, Lee was actually, he was preaching and at a church. And after the service, a middle-aged guy came up to him, and he said, I want to thank you for speaking to me a couple years ago. You really influenced my spiritual walk today. And Lee said, "Man, that's awesome." He said, "Where did we meet at?" And he said, "Well, let me tell you a quick story." He said, "I was out of work a couple years ago, and I called the newspaper and asked them if they had any work available. And the guy on the phone said, 'Can you tile floor?'" And he said, "Well, I mean," he said, I've tiled a little bit at my house, you know, my bathroom and stuff." And he said, "I guess so." And the guy said, "Good, you're hired. We'll pay you." And so the guy said, "You know, I'll take it. It's work." And he said, "You came into the business office and you started talking to a guy about God and Jesus and Easter. And he said, you didn't see me, but I was on the floor behind one of the desks repairing tile. And he said, I heard what you were saying." And he said, "My heart started racing." And he said, "When you were done and you left," he said, "I called my wife and I said, 'We're going to church Sunday.'" And she said, "We are?" And she said, "Yes, we are." Anyways, he said, that Sunday, he said, "We actually went to church where you were at." And he said, "My wife and my teenage son and I, we came to faith and in Jesus that day." And so Lee went on to tell, after that story, he went on to say, in this article, he went on to say, "When you're motivated to talk with others about Jesus, you make yourself available for those opportunities. You never know what's going to happen on what starts out to be an average and routine day. It's what I call the unexpected adventure of the Christian life." Maybe God is preparing you to step out in faith. I don't believe that you were created to stay in the boat. When Jesus walked out to the boat that night, casually I might add, Peter was the one who took the chance. He said, "Lord, if it's you, tell me to come." Jesus didn't give Peter a plan or instructions. He simply gave him one word: come. Once Peter stepped out of the boat, the waves were none of his concern. And the same is actually true for you. What you choose to ignore is just as important as the things you lean into. What if the storm is the very thing that God is using to strengthen both you and your faith? Getting out of the boat is a huge step, but it's only half the battle. Once you decide to get out of the boat, you've got to fix your focus. What's holding your focus today? Are you clinging to His word, or are you focused on the weather? In verse 27, Jesus tells the disciples, "Take courage, it is I. Don't be afraid." When you're afraid, go to God and ask Him to give you clarity and peace over your situation. Mark Twain once wrote, "Courage is resistance to fear, mastery of fear, not absence of fear." It's easy to have starting power, but what about staying power? Staying power is what fuels you to put one foot in front of the other when everything you see looks nothing like you imagine. Peter may have thought that once he got out of the boat, Jesus would stop the storm so he could walk to him on smooth water. But when the wind continued to rage, Peter probably thought, "This isn't good. This isn't going how I pictured it." Sometimes it can be hard to keep your faith when God doesn't do what we think He should. So how do we keep our faith when the wind threatens to blow it away? Isaiah 26:3 tells us, "You will keep in perfect peace those whose minds are steadfast because they trust in you." The strength of our faith isn't always best measured by the moves we make, but how steadfast we remain during the storm. I enjoy watching movies. I especially love adventure movies. I love old 80s movies. Hard to believe 80s is kind of old now, but one of my favorites from the past is the Indiana Jones series. I don't know if anybody likes the Indiana Jones series, but in one of the particular movies, Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade, Indy is in search of the Holy Grail. And in one particular scene, he has to endure a series of challenges in order to reach the cup and save his dad's life. You know, the saw blades come out, and he's got his dad's journal in hand as his guide. He gets to the final challenge, and he walks up to the edge, and it's this giant chasm that, you know, he can see the trail continues on the other side, but there's no way to get across it. He can't jump, he can't swing to make it. So he understands he needs to take a leap of faith. So with a deep breath, he lifts his foot, and he steps out into the void, and he lands on something. And as the camera pans out, you see a hidden bridge that was there the whole time. And it was designed as an optical illusion to confuse would-be adventurers. You can't see it as you walk forward, but at another angle, you can see it. Have you ever looked across the chasm or the ravine and wondered, how do I get to the other side? What am I going to do? How do I overcome this obstacle? How do I bridge the gap between the life I now live and the life that God is calling me to? God has called us to a life of faith and trust, to live in confidence and step out of our comfort zone, a life that takes us beyond ourselves and draws us closer to Jesus. Hebrews 11 reminds us, now faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. It's having a confidence that God can provide in every circumstance. It's an assurance that God will never fail us, that God will never leave us, and that God will never forsake us. Even if we cannot see the result or even see a way out, faith knows that God can and will provide. Back in verse 28, Peter asks, Lord, if it's you, tell me to come to you on the water. This seems like a ridiculous request, but it's actually one of the greatest faith moments in history. This was Peter's appeal. This was Peter's idea. This was Peter's initiative. We can find ourselves waiting on God to move when often God is waiting on us. How many times have we felt the Holy Spirit prompt us to speak to someone or encourage someone or help someone or pray? But again, we think about, am I going to get embarrassed? We don't want to fail or be rejected. That's human nature. How many times have you felt God asking you to serve, step up, step out, give, or even lead? And we choose not to because of fear or doubt. It's easy to condition ourselves to fear and doubt because we prefer the comfort of our boats rather than the calling of the waves. Romans 8, 9 through 11 says, you, however, are not in the realm of the flesh, but are in the realm of the Spirit. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you, and if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, they do not belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death because of sin, the Spirit gives life because of righteousness. And if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his spirit who lives in you. To us, our boat represents comfort, safety, and security. It represents what we know. I believe he often calls us out of the boat, into the uncomfortable, the uneasy, and the unknown. It's only when we choose to let go and step out that we begin to stand on the promises that God has for us on the water. James 2, 14 through 17 says, "What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone claims to have faith but has no deeds? Can such faith save them? Suppose a brother or sister is without clothes and daily food. If one of you says to them, 'Go in peace, keep warm and well fed,' but does nothing about their physical needs, what good is it? In the same way, faith by itself, if it is not accompanied by action, is dead." Reminds me of the great day of service next week. Ashley and I love doing home projects. We're DIYers. We love tackling everything from hanging light fixtures, tile work. We're currently replacing door trim, casing, and baseboards at our house. I am not skilled at miter cuts, so I've watched videos on that, and thank you, YouTube. So I've gotten a little better, you know. I've got enough scrap wood that I can do some test runs at, so probably need to talk to Tyler a little bit more about that. But YouTube has been kind of my go-to for these projects. So who's your go-to when life storms hit? Who do you trust? Peter got out of the boat because he had faith in Jesus. And as soon as he was just distracted, he began to sink. Verse 31 says, immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. And there's that word immediately again. This is the third time that word is mentioned in this text. The moment that things look bad, the moment things look like they are over, Jesus steps in. When I think about Jesus out on the water, I think about him being so far away. Verse 26 mentions that the disciples believed it was a ghost on the water. So I have to think that he was somewhat far away. They couldn't recognize him or hear his voice. But he was close enough to Peter that he caught him. So to me, this tells us that either Peter had the faith to walk out on the water a fair distance, or that Jesus was close enough to catch him. All we really know is that Jesus was close. And I think that's a revelation that we need to understand. Jesus is close. For someone that's feeling lonely, Jesus is closer than you know. In every season, in every situation, on every mountain, and in every valley, Jesus is with you. It's easy to remember our hurt or our pain due to a past situation. But our job is not to find reasons. Our job is to find God. Pastor Jason Mendes says, "The one thing more important than our problems is our proximity." Peter was saved because he was close to Jesus. He was within catching range. And this picture reminds me of how we need to stay close to Jesus. I think it's also important to understand that our lack of focus leads to little faith. The moment Peter's eyes wandered away from Jesus and onto the waves was the moment he began to sink. In the same way, the moment that our eyes begin to wander away from Jesus and onto our problems, our disappointments, our frustrations, that's the moment we can sink too. The truth is, whatever has your focus has your faith. When our focus is Jesus, then our faith becomes solid, strong, unchanging, and immovable. There's an incredible future that God has laid out in front of us. However, the promises of God are not found in the comfort of our boat, but in the unknown of the waves. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope and a future." I found in my life, wherever there's peace, there's God's presence. It's the peace of God that confirms His word. It's the peace of God that transcends all understanding. It's the peace of God that provides calm in the storm. Colossians 3:15 says, "Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you are called to peace and to be thankful." I want to encourage someone today who is in the middle of a battle to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you're in the middle of a sickness, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Maybe certain relationships in your life have broken down. I'm here to tell you, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus. Second Timothy 1:7 says, "For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but power and love and of a sound mind." Living a life of faith is not always going to be easy. We won't always feel comfortable. But I can assure you, God has the power to make us bolder and stronger when we step out in faith. So today, spend time worshiping the God who sits above the waters and ask Him to plant an abiding faith in your heart. What are you waiting for? Let's pray. Father God, thank you for speaking to us. And I pray that this week that our ears are open, we're tuned in to your voice. I pray that you lead us on the path that you have laid out. I pray that we recognize that. I pray that we hear and we see that as a church body, as your children. I'm grateful for how you never leave us, how you are with us throughout the storms. We understand that this is not heaven, and we still go through battles, we still go through trials. But I'm grateful that you never leave us. I pray as we leave here today that we remember that. That's on the forefront of our mind. I thank you for what you have planned for us. I thank you for this church congregation. I thank you that you've given us power to be your hands and feet, strengthen our faith, God, every day. Pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great Sunday.